Our Bible reading tonight is from the book of James as we continue our sermon series through this very practical and challenging letter. And tonight we're going to be reading from James chapter 1, the verses 12 to 18, and the words will be up on the screen behind me. But if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to look it up in your own Bible as well, and to keep that open as we consider James's message to us tonight. So we're reading from James chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. Amen." Friends, I want to begin tonight by asking you to think about your greatest temptations. Please be completely honest and ponder for a moment the areas where you know that you are attracted and enticed and drawn towards sin. I think this is very important because often we don't think about this very much, and maybe you don't think about it at all. As Christians, we all know that we're sinners in the broad and general sense, but yet we can fail to address the specific ways that we are being seduced by evil, the ways that we stumble and we fall. We can allow our actual confession and repentance before God to dwindle, and sometimes it may even stop altogether. That may be because we're so overwhelmed by our shortcomings that we just don't want to think about them. Or at the other extreme, we may have fooled ourselves into believing that we really don't do much wrong anymore. Or most likely, we've just become so used to our sin that we don't see it for what it is. Please take some time to think tonight, what are the temptations in your life? In Mark chapter 7, Jesus himself describes some that are most common. This is what Jesus says: "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." For men in particular, sexual temptation is a very difficult area. Is it lustful thoughts about another person? A person in your life? A person on your screens? Is it an inappropriate relationship before marriage or outside of marriage? Is it forms of sexual desire that are displeasing to the Lord? Or is your weakness in the area of pride and arrogance? You tend to think too highly of yourself and of your own opinions, boasting and bragging, feeling better than others. Maybe you enjoy putting other people down, always quick to disrespect, to disparage, and to criticize. Some will struggle with greed and materialism. They're drawn to love money more than God. They're obsessed with having more and more, newer and nicer, bigger and better. They seek meaning in their riches and possessions and a self-indulgent life. Maybe you find yourself tempted in the area of anger. You're quick to get annoyed and upset, filled with outrage and fury. Or is it jealousy? Always comparing, wanting what others have, their house, their job, their friends, their holidays, their popularity. Is it dishonesty, exaggerating, telling half-truths or even total lies to gain attention and advantage for yourself? Maybe your battle is in the area of laziness. You're uncommitted. You don't pull your weight. You don't do the things God wants you to do. Or is it anxiety, always worrying about things and failing to really put your trust in the Lord? Or maybe bitterness, feeling hard done by, looking for the worst in every person and every situation. Many people these days are tempted by something called escapism, trying to deal with the struggles of life by becoming obsessed with other things. They seek solace and meaning in becoming a workaholic or a shopaholic or an alcoholic. Or maybe it's a fitnessaholic or a hobbyaholic or a familyaholic, a scrollingaholic, a perfect houseaholic, a get away from it all aholic. This week I was reading an article called "The Temptation We Most Often Overlook." It was very interesting. The author suggests that what we most often fail to see in our own hearts is actually the temptation of godlessness. And he defined this as the desire to elbow the Lord out from the center of your life. This is what happens when we live as though God has no relevance to our daily living, when we just live like the rest of the world. And as a result, we become prayerless and we become disinterested in the church and we become unexcited by the gospel. So many temptations. Friends, I want to urge you tonight to honestly assess what the temptations are that you are facing in your life. And I especially urge you to do that tonight because this is the topic that James is addressing in our text. In James 1, verses 13 to 18, he is turning his attention to the matter of temptation. But it's not as though this is unrelated to what came earlier, because you might remember that in the first four verses, he spoke to us about the trials of life, trials that can open us up to temptation. In the next four verses, he spoke about wisdom, the wisdom we need in order to fight temptation. And then the next four verses, he spoke about riches that actually present particular temptations to those who have them. But the first thing that James makes clear in our passage is that this is a real and relevant issue for every single one of us. He begins in verse 13 saying, "When tempted." Not if, but when. And in verse 14 he says, "But each person is tempted." Not some people, but each person. Temptation is inevitable and unavoidable, because we are sinful people living in a sinful world. We're all being enticed powerfully and persistently to do wrong, to rebel against our Maker, to disobey God's will. And I urge you tonight, please don't be that person who thinks you're the one exception to the rule. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes, "So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Temptation is a fact of life for me and for you and for everyone. But James then goes on to address the question of where it comes from. And first of all, he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. You know, I've heard people do exactly that. In fact, I've heard myself do exactly that. We say, well, God made me this way, so there's nothing I can do about it. We say, God, he put me in this situation, so how can I resist? We say, God, he controls everything, so he must want me to live this way. You know, more than once I've had so-called Christians who have said to me in all seriousness, God put this person in my life, and he wants me to be happy, and so he must want me to have this relationship. Even though that person is not a Christian, even though I'm already married to someone else, even though I know this is not in line with his word. They say, blame God. Don't blame me. It's not my fault. Do you remember where it all began in the Garden of Eden? Already then, Adam was trying to blame God. He said, it's the woman you put here with me. She gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Passing the buck, first to the devil, then to the woman, but ultimately to the Lord. Adam said, God, you put her here. It's your fault. God made me an angry person, so how can I help it? God gave me bad parents, so how can I respect them? God made my business grow so rapidly, so how can I not devote all of my time to it? God gave me a difficult life, so how can I help being cynical? But James makes it so clear, doesn't he, that God doesn't tempt. And we need to understand that correctly. You see, the Lord allows temptation to come our way. The Lord even causes temptation to come our way. He does that to test us. But the point is that the Lord never tries to convince us or entice us or persuade us to take on the sinful attitude or to go through with the evil deed. He never suggests or pretends that giving in is going to bring about good. He never tricks us into thinking that bad things are okay. He never urges us to submit. That's what James means when he says that God does not tempt us. And the reason he says, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Our Lord is absolutely holy and righteous. So he's in no way attracted to sin. There's nothing in him for sin to even appeal to. But rather he is disgusted. And he is repulsed by all evil. James says that as a result, nor does he tempt anyone. The Lord isn't attracted by sin, and so it's impossible for him to make it attractive to us. Rather, he consistently warns us not to give in, and never lures us into it, never tempts anyone. So the point that James is making is we can't blame God for this. If we could, then it wouldn't be our responsibility, would it? But as it is, we are responsible, 100%. The only person we can blame is ourselves. Listen to verse 14. James says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Temptation comes not from God, but from ourselves. It springs up from our own sinful nature. There is deep within each of us this horrible craving to do wrong. The things God tells us not to do are the very things that we find so attractive. We convince ourselves that wrong is really right. We convince ourselves that giving in is going to make us happy. We convince ourselves that what God says is evil isn't really so serious. That's the evil desire within us. Haven't we all experienced the way it pulls on us, trying to entice us again and again and again? but it is serious, gravely serious. Why? Well, because temptation is just the beginning of a journey, the beginning of a road with a destination. James explains in verse 15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. We need to be clear that temptation and desire in themselves are not sin. We're tempted all the time. Even Jesus was tempted. It's a fact of life. But while it isn't wrong in itself, it very quickly leads us into what is wrong. James says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, if we entertain evil longings in our heart, dabbling in them, enjoying them, letting them conceive and take root, then they will soon give birth to evil thoughts and words and actions. The initial desire is not the problem, but if we allow that desire to grow until we give in to it, then we have committed sin against the Lord. Sin is doing what God tells us not to, or failing to do what he says we should. It's rebelling against his will. It's breaking his commands. It's disobeying his laws. Sin is the very reason why our relationship with the Lord is broken. And sin is the very reason why Jesus came into this world. But James also says, when it is fully grown, sin gives birth to death. You see, it's like a cancer. Once it starts, it spreads and increases and grows. It grows when it's not acknowledged for what it is. It grows when it's minimized and excused and ignored. It grows when it's unconfessed, when there is no grief or remorse over what has been done. It grows when it is not resisted but allowed to take control and to become a way of life. And friends, when it is fully grown, it results in death. The person who is fully controlled by their sinful nature, no longer fighting it, no longer feeling any sorrow, well, they are on a road that leads to their ultimate demise. And that begins already now. For even though a person may be physically alive, they can be spiritually dead. That happens when they have no relationship to their Creator, cutting themselves off from the giver of life. God gives them over to their sin, and they start dying on the inside, and their life becomes meaningless and futile. But eventually the day comes when they die physically as well. And what a terrible day that is. For they will face the Lord who judges righteously and condemns justly. They will be banished from his presence and punished with eternal death. Friends, so many in this world are traveling this road, including people in each of our own lives. It begins with temptation, that inward desire to ignore God and make our own rules. Left unchecked, that desire quickly turns to sin. And as sin grows, it becomes normal. It's accepted, justified, even glorified, till it reaches its natural conclusion in death. These verses remind us why temptation is such a big deal, not to be trifled with, for it has a definite and a dreadful destination. It takes you down a road you do not want to travel. It takes you down a road leading to destruction. My friends, if you're on that road right now, then I want to urge you to turn back before it's too late. Verse 16 says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. That's what so many are. They think it doesn't matter. They think God doesn't care. They think there is no hell to pay. I truly hope that's not you, that you're not being deceived. Temptation leads to sin, leads to death. Doesn't get any more serious than that. But in the last two verses, James flips the coin and shows us the other side. For while it may seem that he's telling us we're all on a road we cannot escape from, on a highway that has no exits, that is not the case. Listen to what James says next. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The Lord doesn't tempt us. The Lord gives every good and perfect gift. He's the Father of lights, the creator of the universe. He's the one who doesn't change like shifting shadows. He is faithful and reliable in all that he does. Because you see, the Lord is a wonderful God who longs desperately to give us the most marvelous blessings that you could ever imagine. We may well face temptation, but he's the one who gives us strength to resist. We may well fall into sin, but he's the one who longs to forgive. We may well deserve death, but he's the one who gives us life. And he's done all of that in his own beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Jesus is the Savior who can rescue us from temptation and sin and death by his perfect righteous life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross. We may well be dragged away by our own evil desires, but he's the one who drags us back by his own perfect love and grace. It's why in verse 18, James concludes this section saying this: "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Temptation and sin will lead us only to judgment and destruction and death, but it is God who saves all who believe and gives them birth, gives them true and eternal life. He saves us through the message of the gospel, the word of truth. He saves us to live for him like first fruits of what's coming in the beauty of heaven. And that's also why I included verse 12 in our reading this afternoon, because in verse 12 it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Temptation puts us on a road to death, but Jesus puts us on a road to eternal life. And he does that for every person who loves and puts their trust in him. Friends, tonight we've been thinking about temptation and its destination. And we need to take this seriously. We need to understand the gravity of these things. We all face temptation, and that comes not from God, but from ourselves. We have within us a deep-seated desire to rebel against him. And as we give in to that desire, and we all do, we fall into sin. And as sin grows, and it always does, it controls us and leads us to death. But brothers and sisters, if we can grasp the seriousness of this tonight, then surely we can also grasp the wonder of God's solution. Because he loves us so much that he gave his only Son to suffer and die for our salvation. It is in Christ that we can pray the prayer of Matthew 6, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It is in Christ that we can experience the wonder of 1 Corinthians 10. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you're tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. And even as we fail, it's in Christ that we can know the truth of 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And it is in Christ that we can trust with all our hearts the words of John chapter 3, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, it is in Jesus that God gives us birth through the word of truth. It is in Jesus that we receive that crown of life that the Lord promises to all who love Him. So let's get real about temptation and its destination, and may that drive us tonight to put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank You for these words that James has written for us, Your words passed on by Your Holy Spirit. Father, we want to thank You for reminding us of just how serious temptation is. For Lord, it gives birth to sin, and sin gives birth to death. And Lord, we admit that we don't think about that too often. Lord, we admit that we get slack on these things, that we start to think that we're actually pretty okay in ourselves. But Father, we pray, please remind us tonight about just how grave this is. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we have dabbled in temptation, that we have entertained thoughts that we should not have. And Lord, please forgive us for those many times that we have fallen. And Father, as we confess our sins, we are reminded that You are faithful and just, and that You forgive all who repent and put their faith in Jesus. And Lord, that is what we want to do tonight. We want to recommit ourselves to Your Son, the only one who can redeem us, the only one who can prepare us for life in glory with You. Lord, we thank You with all our hearts. Lord, help us to cling to this glorious gospel message, come what may. And Father, help us to share this good news to all those who have not yet heard. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.